All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our NFL podcast for Thursday, December 8th. I am Doug Norrie, that is
James Davis.
And we're going to bring you some of our NFL value plays for this week. We're from dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, or DFSR.com for short. And as always, you can grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system, powered by Lineup Lab, which helps you calculate optimal lineups for both FanDuel and DraftKings NFL. It also includes NBA projections and then base hockey projections as well, all covered under one membership blanket, free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. Think that's about as good a deal you'll find in the industry, so head on over, check it out. Think you'll be pleasantly surprised. We published our Week 14 value play. Well, you published it, buddy. I don't want to say we. I didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, I pat myself on the back. Yeah.
You did the whole thing. You published Week 14 value plays earlier in the week. We're going to go position by position, covering just sort of some of the cash game plays that we're targeting. Now, as always, this is a few days earlier than usual, a few days earlier than Sunday. So take that into mind if you're listening to that. And then tomorrow we'll be breaking down every game on a game-to-game basis and talking, you know, more extensively about some of those maybe fringier players. But today we'll focus mostly on, you know, early on, you know, a few days before lock, who we're targeting in terms of cash games. Overall general feeling about this week before we get into it, you know, are your thoughts, are things like pretty crystal for you right now, or is there not a ton of information that doesn't seem like we're waiting for, but I think I'm feeling a little sense of unease about when I look at sort of like how some of these lineups are shaking out early on.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little sense of unease in terms of some of the particulars, but I think from a process level, I think that, you know, we've kind of finally figured this season out on some level. And so I have confidence that as, you know, more news comes out and things shake out. I mean, one thing to point out is that it's a full slate of games this weekend with 14 week 14 means no teams are on buys. And so, yeah, stuff's going to bubble up to the surface and, you know, we'll find some value here and there. And I think that it's going to be a fine week overall.
We'll start at quarterback. Now, the first guy you have here is Aaron Rodgers. He plays Seattle. Do you think that turns people off the – how much should the matchup turn off Rodgers? But is there like a reason that he tops the list even against a Seattle team that obviously not the great defense of old but still a very, very good defense? Why does Rodgers kind of top the list here?
Well, mostly because Seattle, while they're 10th in the league in terms of passing yards allowed this season, that's good, but that's just not excellent. And they have a couple of, you know, outlier games like the overtime game against Arizona where, you know, they just have such an incredible performance that I think it actually tips the scales. I view them personally more as like a just above league average defense, and that's still good, and you don't generally want to target them, but I do think with the prices now fitting into their algorithm, you know, just adjusting for defenses, that Rodgers is simply underpriced. I mean, 8,000 for him is too low. You know, he had several weeks in a row of 23 fantasy points or more, kind of took a week off that in terrible weather and was still good last week, like still completed 67% of his passes, you know, threw two touchdowns, no interceptions. I think in a week that rates to have better weather, I believe that he'll be just much better. And so there is such a thing, like we often laugh about the idea of being matchup proof. There is such a thing as being matchup proof when the price gets too low if you're an elite player. Right. And we might be just brushing up against that with Rodgers right now. Now, that's not to say that he'll be a slam dunk like every lineup guy, every format. Probably playing Seattle limits his ceiling on some level, but I think it's just a very reasonable investment if that's where you want to wind up.
Right. We use the example a lot of times where we'll say, like, you know, someone will say, well, I just can't play him against Seattle. Well, would you play him for $0? Yes, right? So like, so there's some price, and this is all price dependent on these guys. It all comes down to price. And so there's some price that you would play some, even like, you know, a bad quarterback in the worst matchup because it just allows you to do other things. Here, you're right. They've just kind of overcorrected they downward corrected, especially on DraftKings where he's 6,400, and that's cheaper than, I mean, he's like the sixth or seventh most expensive quarterback or something like that. No, ninth. So that's just not correct, right? And at some point, 100%. At some point, just the matchup, it's the matchup. The system's looking at the matchup too and saying, you know, this is not great, but this is still Aaron Rodgers who can do so many different things. And I think we'll just kind of, we can take our chances with it. After him, if I want to go maybe a little cheaper, let's go through this couple of the other guys that we have on the list here.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. I want to actually just dive right into a little bit of a way for us to like level up in terms of our overall DFS playing, because I think that, you know, a lot of people, that Rodgers thing, the thing you pointed on where it just looks bad, I think is a really important point, because you know, the way the human brain works is there's these little heuristics, right? Like there's little shortcuts that your brain can take that are often cases are very, very beneficial to you. This is why we've evolved to have them, right? So like if you're walking in the woods and you hear a noise, your instinct is to flinch because, yeah, if it's just a branch, no harm done, right? It's just a branch, you move on with your life. But if it's like a tiger, then flinching was great because it gave you that first step to getting away. And so your brain is just wired to do things with sort of without thinking. And so this is why gambling is such a mind F for people. Right. Because it's, these things are designed in such a way, or games of skill on the internet, things that are not gambling at all. The way these things are designed is such that the decisions are close enough to where you feel like you're getting the better of it, or you, your intuition tells you to do something. And in many cases, you should not trust that intuition right. until you develop better intuition, I guess I should say. And so, yeah, like if your gut tells you, man, this doesn't look quite right. But that's only because you're looking at one factor, which is you have this heuristic, which is don't play players against decent defenses. That's a good tool to use usually, except for when one of the other factors is so much in the other direction that you should ignore it. So, yeah, this is, again, why using a lineup optimizer or using tools is so beneficial. But I just wanted to dive in on that because I think that by and large, trusting your instincts is not a great way to play DFS. So
no, it's not. And not especially if you're looking to get to sort of just like optimal performances and make the money work correctly. Like you right. need to have a base set of inputs. It need not be our system for sure. Like, but you need to have a system, whether you develop on your own, you use another site that's kind of out there that you trust to, you know, you trust their process or you believe you have enough insight into their process. And I don't mean necessarily all just the results. Like you need to understand probably like what they're doing sort of on a week to week basis that informs their projections. You need to have something, right? Because otherwise, yeah, you'll do what I did, which is to say, oh, Rodgers against Seattle next, you know, which is
well, right. And we talk about this too with like the guys betraying us. And I know this episode, we'll burn through some of the other stuff, but this, I think it's really important stuff. Like the old concept of this guy has burned me before. That's a very useful concept with like friendships, right? Like right. if you had burned me before, and like not followed through and not shown up for the podcast on time and, you know, done whatever else and been really unreliable, that would be a reason to not be friends with you, but it's not a reason to not play a guy in DFS right. because it's not personal. The guy didn't make a decision to be bad. There were just some factors in place that led it to happen. But anyway, level up over. You're now level 17 DFS player. Nice. So some of the cheaper options this week, and actually one of these gets right to the core of exactly what I was just talking about, and that's Matt Barkley. You know, Matt Barkley, you know, he was very, very good on these prices 2 weeks ago and then really went backwards the other way in what looked like the best possible matchup with the Niners, right? So I don't think too many people wind up taking a chance on him just because of that weather concerns as it bubbled up. But I think some people will look at him, like especially if he shows up in big tournament lineups in the optimizer or something, and they'll be bummed out. But I think that he's a case where, you know, when we move from the worst possible scenario for a young quarterback, which is not being trusted in bad weather and going to essentially a league average matchup with the Lions, I think that he becomes a much more interesting punt play once again.
Yeah, no, I think the price on him kind of leveling off because of that weather helps him. Hey, the guy threw like 55 times the game before and or something like that. Like he was in the 50s and or how much was it? It was 54 times. Right. So, and the completion percentage wasn't great, but if you're just going to kind of get like the Bears aren't a very good team, it stands to reason they're going to play behind from behind. The Lions actually have struggle running the ball. They do pass a decent amount, which means other teams are able to just run more plays against them because just there's more time on the clock. And so I'm not all in on Barkley necessarily, but I really, really like a bounce back matchup. I love him for tournaments. I actually think people will go that direction in tournaments because they'll see a lot of those same things.
Sure. Like, peripheral stats on him good last game too. I mean, he 61% completion rate and 11 yards per attempt. Like those are just excellent in bad weather. Like I don't like my feeling on Barkley right now is that he's worth like 1,000 more or something. And mm-hmm. when you get a value like that, it's often correct to take a chance on it.
You know, and another sign that the sites have been sort of are correcting for matchup is a guy like Andy Dalton, who yep. is now about the same price as Aaron Rodgers, and right. and the only reason being he's playing the Browns, right? Yes. Basically, sites have figured this out. They're like, we just can't have these guys be punt play quarterbacks against the Browns because the Browns are so bad on defense that we just have to. They're just allowing just other teams to just do whatever they want whenever they want, and so we get a guy like Dalton. Now that being said, can we still play Dalton at the same around the same prices as a guy like Rodgers?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly doesn't feel excellent. There's no question about that. But really the thing going on here, which you pointed to already, is just the matchup. I mean, Cleveland's allowed the second total yards allowed all season long. They've allowed a clean 4,800, which is, you know, another 120 better than Oakland, who's 30th place. And they're just so bad at this point that it's really hard to, you know, it's hard for even for the price or the sites to correct well enough to get guys expensive enough almost. The thing you don't love about Dalton here, just, you know, again, in the interest of seeing things from all sides, is that he is missing with his best receiver, right? So with no AJ Green, that certainly dings Dalton's value. But the bottom line is too, like, you know, he's had some really tough matchups recently. You know, he's faced the 12th, 1st, and 11th most impressive passing defenses recently. Comes into this in a much, much better matchup. I think he'll be very underowned. I don't know if he's the guy you want to settle in for cash games necessarily, but yeah, I think he'll be very underowned for big tournaments based on what he's done recently.
All right, so let's do, tell everyone about no halftime for a second, and then we can get into a couple no halftime challenges here.
Yeah, well, this is a good one, I think. We can jump into a no halftime challenge, and I'll explain what it is first, just in case you haven't heard of it. So no halftime is a new, pretty revolutionary DFS platform that allows users to sign up and very cleanly just make one-on-one DFS challenges. And the way that challenges are offered is such that you pick a player, you pick an opposing player, and you just say, my guy's going to score more fantasy points than your guy. That's it, straight up. And you can offer challenges of your own. So you can offer really, really lopsided challenges from your perspective, and maybe they get picked up. And if they don't, you just get your money back. No big deal. And then the other thing you can do is you can go around and surf around for other people's terrible challenges that they've issued. So you'll very frequently see people just offer challenges that, you know, at least according to our projections, are a much bigger edge than you can get in just your average DFS contest. So, you know, competing at DFS with more complete information, always a good thing. If you check out nohalftime.com, use promo code DFSR25, you get a $25 bonus, matching bonus up to 100% on your first deposit. So yeah, check them out and make a challenge. So the challenge for this week, Doug, straight up Aaron Rodgers or your boy Andy Dalton.
Yeah, it's so funny because our system has them as a half a point difference in, and there's no other situation or week where this would be probably be the case, right? Like there's very, very few weeks where this would be the case. We have them at 20, we have Dalton at 23.57, Aaron Rodgers at 23. And just for those of you that don't understand that, like that's basically the difference of like one more passing attempt projected or half of like, maybe not even half, like a quarter of a more running attempt for a guy like Rodgers, would vault him over Dalton. So just, I don't know if people don't understand like how close a half a point worth of projection is. Like that's really all it would take for to kind of swing that. I will probably go, if no halftime, I'd probably value safety a little bit more. So I would go Rodgers. And I think his points just come in probably a safer fashion. Like if the system sees them as close, Rodgers, I would suspect, is more likely to hit it just because he can do certain things. What about you? I would take Rodgers, but it's close.
For sure. I'll take the same side just simply because the Packers' only plan is to use Aaron Rodgers, basically, and the Bengals do have a backup plan, which is just run the ball constantly, especially if they gave up, or they get up, rather. And given all those factors, I think that, you know, for safety's sake, you're not going to want to be in Dalton's camp there.
I think another guy that people will end up playing, we'll talk about a little bit tomorrow, where I could see you having a situation where you can get maybe an edge, is a guy like Jameis Winston, who plays against the Saints this week. Saints have obviously had some of their issues on the passing side of the ball. So no halftime is great for going, you know, kind of going over to our system and saying, you know, this guy maybe is a popular play, but the system has just Aaron Rodgers more than Jameis Winston. I think that very few people will do that. And I think you can have an edge on no halftime just by using a base projection system like ours. So head over, check them out. We really like those guys. Let's go on to running back. We talked a little bit in our Week 13 recap podcast just about the safety in the running back position, really in the top tier, which includes two players. And that's David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell. You start, I mean, this is basically for you or for us, at least on FanDuel for two running backs. Are we just going to be probably playing these two guys in cash games? And do you think that's going to be sort of like the chalk play this week? Just because at this point, there's no hiding it. These guys are just elite and everyone kind of knows it. Is this where we start and stop?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I wrote a whole treatise about this in the Picks article, and maybe you can check it out if you'd like. But
a treatise, huh? Someone thinks awfully high of his writing skills. Okay.
A treatise is not an opus. It just means a lot of words, dude. I wrote way too many words on... Excuse me?
Never mind. Go ahead.
No, I don't want to go ahead anymore. Now you've ruined it. And I was in the flow and I was grooving. Put on a cool 70s groove.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, I want to talk about it now. And what I was going to say was, I wrote a lot about this on the site, but it's a crazy running back situation this year, which is to say there's only a few teams. I count four teams that have really reliable sort of top tier running games. And when those don't have good matchups, like then things kind of fly off the rails. And then we have some teams with like more mediocre running game situations like Miami, Chicago, the Pats, Tennessee, Buffalo. But while they can provide you with big running performances from time to time, you certainly can't rely on it. And so you get in this really weird situation where, yeah, like the values aren't terrific here. The prices have gone up on a lot of these sort of good but not great running backs. And that leaves us with a lot of value on the top end. I think primarily, I'm not sure, but for whatever reason, it seems like the sites would prefer to kind of cap off a guy's price, even though he's great. We see this in basketball all the time where, you know, Russell Westbrook just is a 70% start for 2 weeks because the prices, for whatever reason, their algorithm just like doesn't let them bring him over 13,000 or whatever. And I think we're kind of there with Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson too. I mean, you know, both these guys, excellent again last week. Both have really good matchups this week as well, with David Johnson, you know, getting a truly elite matchup and Bell maybe more of a good matchup. But yeah, it's on FanDuel, given the value you can find elsewhere, I'm very, very interested in playing both of them.
Yeah, and I think the bigger question is going to come into DraftKings, where the pricing is a little tougher to fit everybody. It's very difficult. I mean, even right now, though, at 9,800 Johnson and 9,000 at Bell, those two guys are in the top lineups, right? And it's just like, go, you know, find safety elsewhere, my friends, you know, or find, you know, some value plays elsewhere, because there just really is no overstating just how safe these two guys are. Their touches are elite. There's really no other ways to continue saying the same thing over and over again. But
I think it's worth pointing out, though, because one of the reasons this doesn't normally happen is because the running back position is so fluid throughout the league that, especially on full slates like this, you'll just get like some big running back who got hurt in the previous week, and there's an obvious heir to the carries that's going to inherit it. But the real issue is that many teams like are kind of just abandoning the run altogether, especially a lot of these bad teams. Or if they haven't abandoned the run altogether, they're very quick to abandon it, and particularly in the red zone when things get really important and yards matter even more. So, yeah, it's teams that still run the ball, like old school teams like this, or teams that pass a lot to the running backs just offer a lot more value.
Well, that's the other thing, too. Like these guys are elite in their carries, and we mentioned it last time. They're elite in their carries, but they're also like good wide receivers, like separately. Like they're a good running back. They'd be decent if you just had the carries, but then you add in like 9 targets a game for each of them, and now it's just something. It's just a totally new level kind of thing.
Yeah, well, that's really the thing. Is that like they're $7,000 running backs and $6,000 wide receivers packaged in one guy, right?
Right.
So it's like when you get all that together, that's a pretty good fantasy player.
After those two guys, where is if I don't want to spend up, or maybe I want to, I can, is there a value to be had at any of the lower level guys that are just getting enough touches?
Yeah. So I like DeMarco Murray a little bit this week. This is another one where people are going to see the matchup with Denver and immediately their ick radar is going to go off and they're just going to ignore it and their eyes are going to glaze over it. But that's actually completely wrong this season. I mean, the Broncos have been incredibly good against the pass, but they've been downright bad against the run. I mean, they've allowed the 5th most running yards this season. They're in the bottom 10 in terms of yards per carry allowed. And that's saying something considering that, you know, given that they know teams are going to try and run the ball against them, and the fact that they still have trouble stopping it is a big red flag to me. I don't think the Titans are really going to want to feed Mariota to them either. Like, you know, Mariota, not always the greatest pocket presence, can get rattled when things are flying off the rails. And so I think they're going to start, especially with Denver's kind of low flying offense, I think Tennessee is going to start by trying to run the ball, and I think they'll have success doing so.
Yeah, and I think another guy you might see play coming off a huge week, Jordan Howard, gets a Lions defense that's ranked pretty low against the run this season. He's coming off such a huge week. He's the one that's a little tough to evaluate because we can't take his carries from last week, but we can talk a little bit more about him on the podcast tomorrow when we go through game-by-game breakdown. Let's head over to wide receivers. Another theme that we sort of mentioned on our last podcast was how the high-priced – this is not like last year where we had some high-priced wide receivers, guys who just kind of – you could lock them up for like 12 to 13 targets a week, and that's just what teams are doing. That's really not the case this year, and it's really hurt some of the most expensive wide receivers in terms of their safety. And this is the big difference between these guys and, say, the guys like Bell and Johnson, whose opportunity is really not in question. We get guys like Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, that group, and I just don't know if we can trust the targets enough for cash games. So where do we think we're going to look for wide receivers?
Well, I think the one guy that's going to be very, very highly on this week is Golden Tate. You know, this is a in the interest of full disclosure, a guy that we were high on last week, but not high enough. He was coming close to optimal lineup, so it didn't quite get there because I think we underestimated a little bit the degree to which that he would take over some of the long balls from Marvin Jones. Right. We picture Tate as more of a possession guy, and he has been, but the Lions just have precious few options in that department, and sometimes you just need to throw deep. And, of course, they did, and Tate paid off and then some. So the price has gone up a little bit on him. He went up from 5,900 to 63 on FanDuel, but the opportunity is still elite. If Jones misses this one, that I think he's a really easy one for me.
We also have Tyrell Williams showing up pretty high. Are we concerned still? He had the labrum issue last week. That's still kind of there. You didn't write him up, but he's coming up pretty high in our system. Do you think that's a guy we end up downgrading?
It just depends on what the injury news winds up being on him. Like, we've talked about him in past weeks before the labrum issue popped up where, he looked like he was just going to be the main target guy for the Chargers. I don't think that by the end of the week, I do believe we'll get some more injury stuff and then, the system will process that and he'll wind up being more an off the radar guy. But yeah, I think he's a reasonable option if we hear he's feeling 100% or something.
Give me some of the other guys you wrote up this week. The next guy you wrote up was T.Y. Hilton. Give me the case for a guy like T.Y. who I have never in my career have I played this guy on the right night. The right Sunday.
Sure. So Hilton, this is clearly just a big tournament play, and hopefully that's obvious to people just based on his track record. But I think the case for Hilton is actually somewhat straightforward. I mean, he's obviously an up and down guy, and that leads to two things. The first and foremost, it leads to him being erratic, which means that that's going to hold the price down, right? Because if you're good every single week, you're just 9,000. But if you're a $9,000 player some weeks and a $5,000 player other weeks, then you wind up settling in the middle. And, those kind of savings can lead to winning big tournaments. And Hilton has been in far more big tournament wins than most people, I think, would realize. The second thing is that he's actually changed his profile a little bit this season. So last year he had 69 receptions. And this year he has 69 receptions. The difference is that he has 20 fewer targets this year so far than he had last year. So that's obviously affected some of his big upside. He hasn't been as good in terms of yards after the catch. But he's actually just been catching more balls in traffic. And that makes him a more reliable and more consistent fantasy commodity from week to week. So I really think at these prices, 7,600, he's probably just cheap compared to what he actually is. And when you weigh the increased safety this season with the increased upside from the fact that he just can go off some games, I think he's a pretty reasonable guy to look at.
Yeah, like I said, I'm once bit twice shy on guys like Hilton, but I totally get I get the reasoning behind it. You also have Edelman and Jordy Nelson. They kind of fall into this high sixes, low sevens sort of territory on both sides.
Good receivers and bad matchups,
Right.
It's going to be tough to pencil either of them in given their matchups this week, but I just think the prices are too low, man. I mean, I think Edelman in particular, Gronk's on the IR now. Martellus Bennett really hasn't done anything. He's been targeted 40 times in the last 3 weeks. And that's just completely insane. And the fact that I mentioned this earlier in a different case, but the Ravens are so good against the run and the Pats have been very, very willing to just abandon the run game altogether that I think Edelman sort of becomes the de facto running back. I could see him just getting a huge number of targets this week. And I think he's simply too cheap for what he can do.
Yeah, and that's more of obviously he's a Monday night play.
Monday to play, but I think he's a guy that people might even ignore on that slate, which I think would be a huge mistake.
And then you mentioned Jordy Nelson, not in a great matchup. It's funny, we get a little funky sometimes because Seattle's numbers against wide receiver ones this year aren't very good in terms of DVOA. But it's also one of those things where if you kind of look through their team record, they just haven't played a ton of just really very good wide receiver one guys. And then you also sometimes wonder about how, sites label each of their, who is the wide receiver one. But, their team, they played the Rams twice. And so, teams like this. So you can sometimes
they shut down Kenny Britton, Tavon Austin.
Right, exactly. You're like, well, those guys don't even have a wide receiver three on a good team. And so, and they have a quarterback four that they were playing with to start of the season. So sometimes you can look at those numbers. I think that's probably what's helping Nelson a little bit in our system is that there's various metrics that show that, that Seattle just hasn't been very good against wide receiver ones, but that could be a little skewed. Let's go finish it off with tight end. Tight end is one of those ones where we kind of pause the podcast every week and just say, hey, let's wrap our brain here around what we're going to do here at tight end. I don't think this week, I'm not going to pause the podcast, but I think this week it's into that same territory where, and it's just tough to trust this list. Talk me into a guy or two here that we can play a tight end.
Yeah. So I led the list with Zach Ertz. you pointed this out, it's not a terrific week for tight ends, but I think there's a pretty good case to be made here. I mean, he saw 15 targets with Matthews out of the lineup. And while we can't count on him for that many targets if Matthews comes back, I think I still like him. I mean, first of all, Matthews is no sure thing. And if he comes up back with dinged up health, you know, I think that really lowers his chances to get a ton of targets. And the fact that Ertz has just been one of Wentz's most reliable targets. I mean, they've connected on more than 65% of Ertz's targets this season, which I think it provides a level of consistency that the Eagles with a rookie quarterback have kind of lacked overall. And there's just the fact that tight end is so bad that you have to play somebody. So all those factors together, I might be all in on Ertz this week.
Yeah, that tight end, man, I hate playing it. It doesn't look like Jordan Matthews is going to come back this week. But you know, like you said, Ertz has been somewhat reliable at these prices, even with Matthews around. And Matthews isn't like he sees targets, but he's not like this elite target right. guy. So no, I like it. After him, do we want to just kind of stay in the cheap realm? There's some interesting guys that are coming off decent weeks. Where else can we look at here at tight end?
Yeah, I think there are. I mean, these are all just like speculative plays that make me want to hold my nose. But I think Tyler Eifert actually, and again, I don't want to pay up for him in cash games because like what are you doing with your life if you're playing Tyler Eifert over, say, Golden Tate in right. for more money? Like I think that's definitely not where you want to be spending up. But I think that, you know, after his 11 target week against Baltimore, you know, the disappearance last week to me was a little bit inexplicable, but I think that was largely due to a game script issue there. Like yep. the fact that they just decided to give the ball to all their random dudes who play running back on their team. I think that Eifert has so much upside for the position, especially given his red zone usage, that I could see him being a part of big tournament winning lineups, even if I don't necessarily want to trust him in cash games.
Yeah, I think people will look at him. I mean, the matchup is really what's so choice here. Cleveland's just so yeah. bad. You need to hope that the game stays sort of close. You know, Cincinnati's not overwhelming favorites against Cleveland, only 5.5 going in. It says a lot more probably about the Bengals than it does about the Browns. But yeah, I think you'll see him people will play him. I think people will also probably play Jimmy Graham coming off a big week last week, although the matchup against Green Bay is not so great. This all just goes to say tight end is just one of those positions where you're just on a week-to-week basis, you're really just trying to hope and pray that you can get like six targets and then just pray you get a touchdown, right? that's kind of the story of tight end. There's no elite guys anymore. Teams aren't using these guys in any kind of like highly targeted fashions. No. Even the ones, you know, like Jordan Reed or these guys who you kind of could rely on maybe on like 10, 11 targets a game. Even when he's playing, they're not there. So it all says that it's tough times here at tight end. What about a guy like Dwayne Allen who saw a couple touchdowns last week against the Jets? But do you think that was like sort of just like an outlier performance for him?
It certainly could have been. I mean, Allen, you know, obviously more than a couple. He had three touchdowns.
Yeah, sorry. I saw two of them. Maybe I just turned the game off at that point. Yeah, but
yeah. So many touchdowns. Yeah, certainly. Allen is definitely in the conversation. And guys with high upside, like, I guess you want to ask yourself, do you want a guy who just 3 weeks ago garnered 4% of the target share and then 4% of the target share in the week before that? My answer to that is probably no, but he's so cheap. Like, I compare him to a guy like Jermaine Gresham, who's kind of like the low upside but higher safety, really cheap tight end. I think Gresham's actually a guy maybe you want to look at in cash games, given that he has, you know, just simply been out there and caught five balls 2 weeks in a row. But man, this position, it's just torture. It honestly almost makes DFS NFL unfun on its own.
All right, well, on that positive note, we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. You head over, you grab a free 3-day trial of our projection system powered by Lineup Lab, which has optimal lineups for both FanDuel and DraftKings, NFL, NBA projections as well. We will be back again tomorrow discussing every single game, breaking down all the games on the Week 14 NFL slate. Buddy, can't wait to talk to you then.
I'm really looking forward to it, Doug.
You sound like it. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
I really can't wait.